family favor. This is a series over the summer from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And we're going to be talking about how we can get God's favor, God's blessing on our family. It's not a magic wand, you know. Last week we saw God bless Mama, you know. And we saw things that the women in the Scriptures who had encounters with Jesus Christ, certain things that they did. They did certain things. And for us to receive the favor of God, the blessing of God, we've got to put ourselves in a place of blessing. And so today's message is entitled, The Best Relationship. The Best Relationship. Obviously, I guess the number one thing we'd be thinking today is husband, wives, but it's more than that. And these relationships are deeper than that. And there's more than those relationships than just husband and wife. So we're going to roll with it this morning. It's good to have Roger Godfrey here to help us this morning with the message. In case you're here today, you might think, oh, Clark can do all this technical work. I can't do any of this. All I do is write the messages, okay? Put the messages together, then Roger takes them and puts them on the big screen for us. And it's really a blessing. I appreciate it. God's will for us is to have blessed relationships. Did you know that? Say, He wants that in your life. Maybe you don't have that, but that is God's will for you. We're going to see that today. He wants us to have the best relationship possible while on this planet. You know, God's not out to get you. Oh, God doesn't get me, gave me this woman. You know, that's not it. You know? God doesn't get you, gave me this man. If you only knew my kids. Listen, God wants you to have great relationships. Husbands with wives, parents with their children, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, friends with friends. God is on your side. He wants you that blessed relationship. It is not God's will for there to be strife and contention in your family or in your relationships, but rather peace. That is God's perfect will for you. I know it takes two. It does take two. Tell me about it. I understand that. But are you doing your best? Okay? Are you doing your best? I do my best when they do their best. The friend, it don't work that way. Are you doing your best today in your relationships? We want to look at it this morning. For me here, I know this. I want God's favor on my relationships. I want God's blessing on my relationships that I have with my wife, with my children, with my brothers and sisters, with my friends, family. I want God's relationships, a blessing on my relationships. I want to have the best relationships. See that word, best? That's what I want right there. I don't want second best. I want the best. Okay? Let's keep moving, Rod, this morning. So how can I have it? How can I have a blessed relationship? How can I have the best relationship that God has planned for me? What can I do today? How can I start? How can I have the best? The best. The best. Can you say those three best? Here we go. Best. 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 Amen. Best, best, best. That's what I want. And my life. How can I get it this morning? Now, are you all right? Because I know y'all don't do this in the country. You all right? You going to be okay? You think you're in the movie or something, don't you? You ain't. All right, I just got to watch that now. But Joey, you just hold her, all right? Here we go. This morning, we want to hang our hat on best. Not good, not better. We're going to hang our hat this morning on best. B-E-S-T. So the first part of best is B. And the first word is what? Say it with me. Blessed. Blessed. If you want to have the best relationship, then you are going to have to start blessing and being a blessing. Let's look at it right here. The principle of blessing is a biblical command. It's to be practiced by every Christian. Blessing. To be a blessing to people. To bless folk. It's a command in the Word of God. And guess what? We're to bless people, especially in response to being annoyed or provoked. That's what the Bible says. We're to bless those that want you. Persecute you. Also bless those that what? Curse you. But that ain't very nice. That's what the Bible says. We're to be a blessing. We are to bless people. Especially those people whom we have relationships with, for crying out loud. Let me tell you something. Surprise! You'll be amazed at what this will do for your life. You better get with it. I'm telling you. In case you're like slouching right now, I don't need this. Listen, fine, go ahead. It's changed your life right here. Amen. Change your relationship. Change the sorry mess you find yourself in. It can help you today. Bless is the first thing. The word blessing in the New Testament is a fancy word, eulogiai, or eulogos. It's based on two Greek words right here. And I don't go to the Greek a lot, but it's important today. Let us see it. EU means well. Logos means word. So what does it mean? Flip it. Let's look at it. Here's what it means. So the idea of blessing or bless is this: to speak well or well words or good words. If you want to improve your relationship, start speaking good words. Start speaking well words. Instead of the trash and mess that comes out of our mouths so often. Blessed. So the first way to have God's favor in our relationship is to speak good words. Why do we do that? I call it this. I call it speaking up, not talking down. Can you say that with me? I call it speaking up, not talking down. One more time. I call it speaking up and not talking down. You keep talking down and you're going to drive that relationship right into the ground. Right into the ground. And then you're going to go, I don't know what happened. Yes, you did, because you're here today. And you didn't. Speak up. Speak up. Speak up. And not down. Be a blessing to people. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:19 through 25. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Amen. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Another scripture, 1 Peter 3, 9 and 10. Not rendering what? Say it with me. Evil for evil. Say the next part. Railing for railing. But contrarywise what? Blessing. Knowing that ye are thereto called, that you should what? Inherit. What's that word? Inherit. We're talking about blessing. Amen. We're talking about getting a blessing from God. How do I get a blessing from God? Sounds like to me I get a blessing from God when I bless instead of rail. When I bless instead of curse. Why? It says this is my calling. I've been called to do this, and I can inherit a blessing from doing this. Are you hearing me this morning?
Amen.
If you want the best relationship, this is the way. For he that will love life, love life. Isn't that what you want in your family, huh? Don't you want to love your family life? So, you know what you want? Your married life, your friendship. Don't you want to have it good? For he that will love life and see what? Good days. Friend, I'm telling you what, a rough marriage can make for a long day. A long day. Children that are constant hell raising, excuse me, that can make for a long day. You hear? Yeah, mama. Yeah. For he who will love life, see good days, let him refrain his what? Hand from evil, and his lips, and they speak no God. So how can you have the best relationship? Learn to bless. Learn to bless. What is blessing? Well, I don't know, I'm in church, he's speaking over my head. No, I'm not. You can't believe you're saying that. Bless means well words. Bless means good words. So what do I need to do in my relationship? I need to speak good words. Now listen, I've got my kids here and I've got my wife in the building. So Clark is not putting himself up as some great example today. I need to do this more. I need to do this more. This message is for me. I'm in my office this week and the Lord's hammering on me. But this is what the Bible teaches. How can I have that best relationship? This is how I do it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want the blessing of God on your family? but you're not willing to bless, you're not willing to speak well, let me tell you something. His face is not going to be for you. His face is going to be turned away from you. It's going to be against you. Jesus said we shouldn't offend little ones, children, things that we say to our children for crying out loud. Listen, it's horrible. Shouldn't be done. God's not going to bless you for it. Very sweet blessing. I was going to do something this morning, and I just didn't get a chance. Okay? Larry, do you have a bottle of water? You have a bottle of water over there? You leave me thirsty there, Larry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Normally, up here, I have a thing of water. And it's good water. Cold water. And if you were thirsty and I gave it to you, you'd drink it right up. But you know what? I was going to go out there this morning. I ran out of time. I was shaking hands and stuff. But I was going to go outside, take a little empty bottle of water, and I was going to put toilet water in. Yeah, that's what I was going to do today. And then I was just going to take just a few drops of the toilet water and put it into the good bottle of water. How many want to drink a good bottle of water with a few drops of toilet water in, say, huh? Not very many, right? But somehow we think that blessing can come out of our mouth and cursing can come out of our mouth, and it's okay. It's not okay. Blessing needs to come out of our mouth, not potty mouth, and not toilet mouth, and trash mouth, the trash talk to our family, talking down. We need to speak up. Are you hearing me today? I'm talking about if you want it. You don't have to get it. If you want it, if you want your family to be strengthened. You want your marriage to be strengthened. And you got to say, hey, I'm wrong. I'm wrong when I do that. I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I'm pathetic. I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. It's me. Well, you don't know what they're doing. Why don't you do right? Start with you. You be the blessing. It can happen, friend. Bittersweet. Here's what James says. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? So the first thing in the message today, how can I have the best relationship? I can bless. And here's how you bless. By your words. Words speak. Actions speak. Sometimes it's just by doing. By doing, you're speaking a blessing. By your actions, they're talking. Look at this one. Your attitude speaks. How many have ever run into somebody with a sorry stinking attitude? How many of you ever had a sorry stinking attitude? I tell you what, my wife can see it a mile away. Man, she knows my attitude's going south in a hurry. You know what I'm saying? Your attitude in your relationship. With our attitude, we can bless. If we won't just live like a crab all day long, you're going to have a crabby relationship. Speak up! Don't live down, live up! Attitude speak. Here's one, prayers speak. Did you know what? You can bless your husband, your wife, and your children by praying to God. That's a way that you can bless your kids. But that's not the only way. Quite frankly, I think your kids would soon you stop praying for them and start speaking to them nicer. Okay? Well, I pray for you. There, that's big pig. You know? Thanks, Mom. Yeah. I think your husband, your wife, would appreciate you speaking to them instead of acting real spiritual about how much you pray for them. There are different ways to bless, but boy, we ought to do this. Bless the folks in your life. So here it is, best. The first one is what? Say it with me. Bless, which means to what? Not to talk down. Number two, let's look at it. We're going to make it. Come on, stay with me now. Edify. Oh my goodness, that's a big old word. The word's all in the Bible. Let's see what it says. We're to edify. Edify is a term in the New Testament. It refers to the building up of others. Edify, say it with me, refers to the building up of others. We're to edify. I need to build up my wife, not tear her down. Where are you at, honey? Amen. She's waiting. Amen. Listen, I need to build up my children, not tear them down. Where are you at, kids? Amen. Elisa's waiting. Amen. I need to build up my children, not tear them down. Look, I need to build up my friends, not tear them down. That's what the Bible says. If you want to have the best relationship, build up, watch this, not tear down.
build up, not tear down.
That'll block. Now you got it. Thanks, Ron. So, we need to bless and we need to edify. Now, how do I edify? How do I build up? Here's how we do it this morning. It begins with you thinking right. Now that you sang the song, what are we supposed to think? What? Good what? Good things. Good things. We're supposed to think good thoughts. Good thoughts. How many have ever gotten a fight with your wife or your husband because you thought something that they did, but they didn't do it, but you thought they did it, and it all went south because of the way you were thinking? Anybody ever done that before? Say, boy, I've done it. You know? It starts with an attitude, getting real quiet. Well, what's wrong with you? You know. You know? No, what? What? You know, we do that, don't we, sometimes? We think bad thoughts. We think negative thoughts. Listen, friend. If you're going to edify, you're going to have to start thinking right. Here's what the Bible says, and she wrote a song over this verse. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say it with me. Think on these things. There are some people that I don't want to spend any time with. There are. There's some people, I just don't want to spend, that might not sound very spiritual, but I'm being honest. People that are going to be negative, people that are going to nitpick, people that are going to tear me down or tear somebody else down, I don't need that in my life. I just don't need it. And the pastorate is one of the few ministries and jobs in the world where you have to put up with it. You know, if you have your own business, you say, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Or you'll say, get out of here. But in the middle, it happens in the ministry. But I tell you what, Gary Clark doesn't like hanging around people that are just going to be down in the mouth and negative, tearing other people down, having a bad attitude all the time, do not want to edify people. I want to help some, but it'll kill me. Let's keep going. So how do we edify? We do it by encouraging, but we got to think right first. We got to think right. We got to be in the right frame of mind, thinking on good things. And then here's how you do it. You edify by encouraging. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Encourage one another. That word comfort means encourage. And edify one another, even as you do. So we edify by encouraging a brother or sister or our wife or our husband or our kids or our friends. We edify by this. Next. By strengthening them. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We are to strengthen one another and give each other strength, not tear each other down. Number three, we're to seek peace. That should be our goal with each other in a marriage relationship. Not to one-up the other person, you know, but to seek peace. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for what?
Peace.
And things wherewith one may edify one another. So we're to encourage, we're to strengthen, we're to seek peace. And we're supposed to edify in marriage. Let's just look at a couple of verses on things. Ephesians 5:28 through 33. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Did you know what? When you bless your wife and you edify your wife, you're blessing yourself and you're edifying yourself. You're doing good for you because you are part of her and she's part of you. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak of concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence or respect her husband. We're to edify each other in marriage. That's our purpose. We have been put together. Joy Clark and I have been put together. We're one flesh. And sometimes it gets a little ugly. You know? It does! But it's to our own good. It's to our own good when she and I work it out. When we work it out. Because it hurts me. If I hurt her, it's hurting me. If she hurts me, it's hurting her. So it's in our own good to edify, to strengthen, to encourage. We need to do that together. It's for our own good that we do that for our children. It blesses us. We need to edify. We need to edify in the church. Ephesians 5:32. marriage. It's talking about marriage, but he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. A man and a woman come together. That's a picture of Jesus Christ and the church.
Amen.
And today, friend, you and I are to be edifying one another in this body. It does not please the Lord at all if there's bickering, fussing, and stuff like that. I can't stand it. I think churches that do that are pathetic. I hate them. I'm going to say it again. I hate them. You hate them, say it. When there's bickering and that kind of backbiting, and do you hate your God? Or you like that kind of stuff? If you like it, buddy, fine. I don't want it. I'd rather take a handful and be happy.
Amen.
I really would. I'd like a big crowd who could be happy. Amen?
Amen.
Well, come on. Man, we need to be encouragers, to be edifying one another in the church. So build up. Don't tear down. How can I have the best relationship? Bless. Speak up. How can I have the best relationship? Edify. Build up. How can I have the best relationship? Here it goes. Ooh. We were fine when we got to that. Sacrifice. That's a dirty word. Sacrifice. That's how you're going to have the best relationship. What is sacrificing? It's giving up yourself for another person's good. Can you say that with me? Sacrifice is giving up yourself for another person's good. We need to sacrifice in relationship. 1 John 4:9. And this is manifest in the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation. The word means sacrifice.
Amen.
For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, say it with me. We ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:19, say it with me, would you? We love Him because He first loved us. Sacrificing is giving up yourself for another person's good. That's what God did. That's what Jesus Christ did. He gave His Son for us so that we could live. He gave us the perfect picture of sacrificing. That's how we have the best relationship with each other, is when we have that kind of mindset that we're going to sacrifice. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, He's given Himself for us an offering and a what? Sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He sacrificed Himself for us. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submit. Word means sacrifice. And also, prior to that, I believe in Ephesians 5:20, it talks to husbands and wives that we're to submit to one another. We're to sacrifice to one another if we want to have the best relationship. How can I have the best relationship? Here it is. Give yourself. Give your time. Give a listening ear. Give a helping hand. That's sacrifice. Well, I don't want to help. I don't want to do. Then you don't want the best relationship. God wants you to have the best relationship. That's what I'm saying. Churches that just, oh God, pour down the favor, pour down the blessing. Listen to me. If we're not willing to get ourselves in the place of blessing, you ain't going to be blessed.
Amen.
I don't believe it. It's a wand God raised in heaven. No, it's not. It's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword. It's the Holy Spirit, the living God that lives in you, that helps you crucify yourself, to help you die to self, to love your wife, to love your husband, to love your kids, to love your church people. To love your family. That's what it is. And the blessing comes. God opens up that blessing. But He requires us to do our part. We've got to sacrifice. Sacrificing is sharing in another person's life. In activities. In thoughts. In dreams and goals. Is it always about you? Well, I'm going to do it my way. Let's do it my way. My way. My way. This is something I struggle with. You know? Thank the Lord God put a great woman in my life who says, no, we ain't doing it that way. Yeah. And then I have an attitude. Yeah. But anyway, we need this chair in another person's life. It's not always your way. Or, you know, especially marriage. In the family, the kids matter. What they say matters. Believe it or not, kids. Sacrifice. Sharing each other's lives. Especially in marriage. We're to share. Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, who said it before, and they shall be joined He shall be joined into his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. When you sacrifice, it's for your own good. The two become one flesh. You're helping yourself when you sacrifice. It's a blessing. I wrote this down. Why don't you say it with me? Saying I do means saying I will sacrifice. Some people say I do because they think, oh boy, sex. Oh boy, greed. You know? Listen, let me tell you something. You say I do, what you're saying is I will sacrifice. That's what you're saying. I will sacrifice for you. I will give my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. I will live for you, to help you, to love you, to care for you, to do whatever you need. So death do us part, better or worse, richer or poorer, higher or lower, I'm going to be with you. It means saying I will sacrifice. Give up yourself, and not be full of yourself. That's what sacrifice is. If you want the best relationship, how do you know it? How do you get it today? Let's look at it. Say it with me one more time in review. Bless. Speak up. Edify. Build up. Sacrifice. Give up. Give up. Give up your plans, your goals, your ways. Why don't you give that up to somebody else? Your mate. Marriage would be stronger. This works in friendship. It's tremendous. It ends a whole lot of strife. And then finally, here's one that you might not have thought of. And that is touch. Touch. And the kids are going, all right, put it in knee, then we get a touch. No, hang on, Pete. All right, here we go. But it's true. Look at this. This is from a medical doctor. God created us with hundreds of thousands of microscopic nerve endings in our skin designed to sense a loving touch. A tender touch tells us that we're cared for, that we matter to somebody. It can calm our fears, soothe our pain, bring us comfort, help us feel secure emotionally. Touch. Our need for a caring touch is normal and it's healthy. And this is where some of you are going to part ways a little bit on this one, I think. Some of you. But I think it'll be a blessing if you'll listen to me. Touch. We never outgrow it. Did you know that? Hey. And we got anybody 70 in the building? Let me see. You got somebody 70? Everybody over here 70? Do you still like to be touched? Say, Miss Eddie. You like to be able to put that arm around you, don't you? Hug on you a little bit. Quite frankly, you like to touch others, don't you? Hug other people? Reach out to other people? Hey, you mean even when you're 70, you still don't want to be touched? Sure enough, isn't that right? Isn't that right? It's something you never outgrow, a touch. Stay with me now, come on. Here we go. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be what? Touched with the feeling of our imperfections, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh man, I tell you what. You know, the thing I love so much about the Lord is that He came and He suffered for me. He feels my pain. He knows what I'm going through. He suffered for me. And He's touched my life. And I tell you, it just encourages me. Look at the very next verse. The touch of Jesus gives us boldness. The very next verse says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Because Jesus Christ can be touched with our infirmities, it gives us boldness to pray. Because we know He's been there. And here's what I'm saying. When you touch somebody else, listen to me. When you touch your wife, when you touch your kids, hey, when you touch a friend, hug a friend, or grab a friend around the neck, or a pat on the back, or an encouraging touch like that, you just never know what somebody's going through. And it gives them the boldness to make it, friend. We need each other. We need to touch each other. I mean, this is crazy message, eh? In the Scriptures, we see that Jesus touched people. Just in case you didn't believe it happened. Here it is. And I didn't even put all the references up. There's so many of them. Here's the way I put it. He touched him. He touched her. He touched hands. He touched eyes. He touched ears. Look at this one. Gross. He even touched tongues. He did. Jesus touched tongues. He touched people. I don't believe in that touching stuff. Well, I guess you don't believe in doing it the way Jesus did. He touched people. Look at this. Jesus touched people, and people wanted to touch Him. But read your Bible sometime, you'll find it. They pressed in to touch Him.
They wanted to touch his clothes. Watch this one. They wanted him to touch their kids. They brought those kids to him, and Jesus and the disciples didn't want them there. Jesus said, what? Say it with me if you know it. Suffer little children to come unto and forbid them not. He loved kids. Jesus touched people. Jesus even touched stinky feet. Did you know that? He even touched nasty, dirty, stinking fishermen's feet. That's a nasty feet right there. Look at it. I want you to see, just in case you didn't know it. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, fixing to lay down his life on the cross, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, betrayed. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he rises from supper, he lays aside his garments, he takes a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Did Jesus touch people, yes or no?
Amen.
He didn't always touch them to heal them. Sometimes he just touched them to be a blessing. And he touched people. And you and I need that touch, and you and I need to touch. In the early church, hold the phone. They kissed. They kissed. Isn't it funny how we're so mad about the Bible? I don't hear any of you running up here to me telling me when you start kissing every Sunday. Why not? Listen, in the early church they kiss. Lots of scriptures. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Boom. Okay, a bunch of go. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Boom. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Boom. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Boom. Greet one another with a kiss of charity. Is there another one? That's a plenty. So what's the point? The point is, it's very important in church and in relationship to touch one another. Now I ain't trying to start something free, alright? But listen to me. It is important. And if you're from somewhere else, let's say, for example, you're from up north, way in the east somewhere or something, I don't know, where you're not used to that. Well, I'm just not used to that. Well, why don't you give me the Bible plan? This is the Bible plan right here. America didn't create Christianity, by the way, friend. The Bible is our guide. This is going to be a blessing for you. If you'll start reaching out, touching somebody's hand, how are you doing? And then you might even go that next step one day and hug somebody around the neck. How you doing? I tell you what. Last week, somebody walked in the building. I don't see them here today. I'm sure they're up north. They walked in the building in the back. There was somebody that called me about 6 months ago. They're 60 years old. Both of them are widows and widowers together. They want to get married. And they called me from up north. Somebody gave them my name. So I talked to them over the phone. I said, I think so. They're both believers in the Lord. I said, I think I can help people. We're moving to Englewood. So I did the service at their home out in Rotunda. Great time. Didn't know them. Had a little time with them. Got to know them a bit. But there's no strings attached. I said, because I'm doing this ceremony, you don't have to come to Fellowship Church. Okay? We do this because we love you. Okay? And I'd much rather you be married than living together. Okay? What the Bible teaches, that's what we want to do. So I did it. Little did I know, they started coming every week. They're a delight. They're a blessing. Last week he comes in. Usually he's so up, he's so encouraging. But last week his face was hanging down and he was shaking. And I went to him and I said, what's wrong? He said, something bad happened last night. I said, what happened? He said, my house burned in Massachusetts. And my son was in it. So what did I do? Well, God bless you, dear brother, and stand way off over here, huh? I get as close as I can to him, put my arms around both of them, and hold them for about a minute and a half. And all I could say was, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help them. I'm telling you, and I could feel some encouragement coming into them. A while back, a few months ago, Lady 47 was sitting right back in this section. Loved the services. It was coming in a couple of weeks. She went home. I told many of you the story in a message I preached. She goes home that week. Wednesday, her husband leaves for work. He comes home after work, finds his wife, 47 years old, dead. Horrific. I get a phone call. The police calls. I end up getting over there. What I do, first thing I do, is hug the man. That's not because I'm a great guy. That's all I know how to do. That's all I can do. Something in me says that's what's supposed to be done. So I hug him. And then, I don't even realize it, but as I spend time with him, and we're dealing, the bodies here, and the police officers, and this is all going on, and I just seem to sort of keep my arm on him. My hand on him. And he looked up at me. Tears running down his face. He looks at me and says, "Thanks for touching me." Quote, "Thanks for touching me. It makes me feel better. You're touching me." You understand?
Amen.
Touching's important. If you're in a relationship, I'm talking about a husband and wife, listening, and there's no touching, no embracing, no wonder the thing's going south. You're not, you need to touch. Okay? Parents with your children, you need to touch. Kids, I don't want mama kissing. Listen, let me tell you something. You need that. You need that. And a lot of you don't mind. How about parents around your kids later right now? Go ahead, real quick. Come on. Yo, let's go. Here we go. Boom. They need that. And like dad, like Don, just touched his boy on the head. I know David. And David likes that.
Amen.
Don't you, David? He likes his daddy. Isn't that great? Here, well, you can touch him so he'll hush up. There's other ways to touch. Here we go. We're done. It's vital for him to reach out, to touch, and greet one another. That's what the Bible teaches. You have to step up to the plate, though, and do it. If you're not prone to doing that, don't just live in the past and say, "Well, I'm not used to that. I'm not used to touching somebody, putting out a hand, hugging somebody's neck." Step up to the plate. Let's keep going. If you want to have the best relationship, watch it. Step up. Step up. Don't sit back. Reach out and touch somebody. Look at it. Finally, intimate touching is reserved for marriage. That's not what we're talking about today. Intimate touching is reserved for marriage. But watch this. Casual, encouraging handshakes, hugs around the neck, greeting with a kiss are not only appropriate, but they're necessary.
Amen.
For us to have the best relationship. I believe. You know, I'm not prone to have young ladies come up and be kissing on me. Okay? I just want you to know that. I don't want that. All right? But I tell you what, I have a lot of the older ladies. Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind that at all. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, now if that bothers you, then let it bother you. It doesn't bother me. Okay? And every once in a while, I'll hug a young lady. And I know they're, you know, we can't be so strict that we can't be warm. If you're not warm, who wants to go to a church that ain't warm?
Amen.
I don't want to spend my life, Mike. Church that ain't warm. Man, Mike and I, we hug. We're big old boys. We like sports, don't we, dude? But that don't mean we don't hug, right? Touch. Let's finish this morning. I'm done. Went a little long. Here we go. Best. Let's say it together. Here we go. How can I have the best relationship? Here it is. Blessed. What does that mean? Number two, edify. Number three, sacrifice. Give up. Number four, step up, which might mean taking a step towards somebody and putting that arm around. Okay? Step up.